Goodcast, der Podcast, der wirkt. Präsentiert von Viva Equality.
Hallo, mein Name ist Julius und ich begrüße dich ganz herzlich zu einer neuen Ausgabe des Goodcast. Absolute Premiere, erste Folge auf Englisch. Warum, das erfährst du jetzt. Hey, my name is Julius and this is a premiere because this is the first Goodcast ever in English. For this year, I decided to talk to more international people and this is why I partly will change into English. Today I'm talking to David Katz. David Katz is the founder of Plastic Bank. He's a really inspiring person, as I will tell him in a minute. I started following him a couple of years ago. Plastic Bank turns plastic into money. And if you would like to know how this works, then stay tuned. As always, please share, please recommend, please comment, please tell everybody about this beautiful podcast. Have fun. Let's start. David, I warm welcome. Thank you that you are on my show. Let's start with this. I know you, you cannot know, but I know you since, hold your share, 2017. So in 2017, I had a job for a big recycling company in Germany. Yes. And I was figuring out around the world who is dealing with waste and plastics and who is dealing with all this kind of stuff. And back then, I saw a TEDx talk from you, which is from 2017. And you said something, and it's a quote. You said, every minute, the equivalent of a truck filled with plastic garbage enters the ocean. So my first question for you, to get smoothly into it, it's what has changed since then?
Well, what's changed is the, you know, increase in production. More and more material is being produced annually. More material is being delivered to areas of poverty, rightfully so. The poor as well, the underserved as well, also need food, services, product that can be inexpensively delivered. It's not that the majority of the world makes, not the majority, but the base of society makes less than $2 a day. It's that we're not delivering products that are available for people who make less than $2 a day. And the way we can do that is by delivering products with plastic. It's a remarkable material. It's allowing us to provide opportunities for travel and medicine and nutrition. We have to ensure that we continue to provide the systems for recycling. That's something that's not changing. So what's changed in the end? I think the only thing constant is change. But the change maybe isn't going in the right direction. I mean, there's been a lot of communication, conversation, which changed since my TED talk in 2017. It was the United Nations convening to create a treaty for plastic. Nothing changed. Nothing was secured. I mean, there's been seven or eight different conferences of the parties, COPs, that were to be there to communicate and create. Nothing changed. It doesn't matter how many Gretas there are in the world. Nothing has changed. We see a retraction in commitments through the new administration in the United States. We see retraction from climate accords. I'm not seeing change going in the positive direction, but change continues to occur.
What keeps you running?
To be that in the world, to bring consciousness, to bring a space of change. That's really what we focus on. So, and in the communication, we do what we do. It doesn't matter what other people are doing. We will continue to do well in the world. For us, what's changed since 2017 is the, you know, additionality of countries as we continue to operate in more regions with more people to affect. We've brought additional income to maybe somewhere around 250,000 people. If we think of our entire collector community and the people they influence, we've collected billions and billions of bottles of material, almost 8 billion bottles collected by hand by the world's emerging. Those things have changed positively. And we continue to do that in spite of what else is occurring in the world. So it doesn't matter what else is occurring. And I think that the communication I try to bring to anyone who may be listening is it doesn't matter. if things have gone forward or backwards or sideways with other people. The work you do and who you are remains consistent. So consistently be executing on a process that brings additionality to the world's emerging. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I like the idea to keep on doing stuff and not taking care that it takes time to get better.
It's not the journey is the destination anyhow. And the time really is about becoming the person that can elicit change in the world. So the time, it takes the time that it takes.
What do you think? How much time will it take at the end? It's like when will we have a point where you look back and you say, okay, did take a lot of time, but it changed.
You know, there's two paradigms. If humanity is to survive in 1,000 years from now, if we're to be here, big if, because the only thing constant is change, and we're only one of 10 billion species, nothing guarantees the survival of humans. Not zero. Zero. We're much more adaptable than other species, so perhaps we'll have more longevity. Maybe. But if we're to survive, and it's 1,000 years from today, 1,000. Think of what's occurring today. I mean, Microsoft, you know, quantum computing, everything else. What? So if we're here in 1,000 years from now, I know at some point along that journey, we stop taking all of the material we encountered, putting them on the street, and someone puts them in a hole in the ground. At some point, everything is returned to circularity. If we're to be here in 1,000 years, we're thriving. And if we're thriving, everything comes back to circularity. I think it's self-evident. What we've done is start that today. That's what we've begun. Everything comes back to circularity. Everything has value. Everything is returned. That's the process. We're operating in the world's most impoverished communities, learning how to do this, doing this, becoming the people who can get this done. So that's what we've done. We've started something. And I forget who to attribute the quote to, but it reads something like, the measure of a great society lies in the men who plant trees whose shade they will never sit under. And that's the idea. We're planting trees that we won't sit in their shade, but we're planting the right trees because that's what will be important for the survival of the species in 1,000 years.
What is Plastic Bank actually doing? I guess we have to bring some light into it.
It's based around the concept that if every piece of plastic packaging, everything that you ever encountered was easily exchangeable for €5. How many would we see in the waste bin? How many would we see going into the environment, into the ocean? Every piece of plastic packaging you encountered, easily exchangeable for €5. We know none. None would go. Not, zero. So it substantiates that it's not the plastic, it's us. So how do we view the material? How do we view the circular? How do we view the value of the material? How do we change the view of the value? In essence, that's plastic. To make every piece of plastic exchangeable for something that at least has the perception of that. So we operate in the areas that are the greatest contributors to marine debris. We work in areas of extreme poverty and illiteracy. And we provide programming and what we call plastic bank branches, where plastic can easily be converted to currency. It can easily be converted to school tuition. It can easily be converted to pain medicine. It can easily be converted to bandages or clean water or cooking fuel or cell phone minutes or anything that the impoverished truly struggle for but need. Available now using the mass of material to pay for the things they need the most. Now, that's underlying, that's the entry to what we do. What's larger and behind it is credit inclusion or reliability. I trust as well in all of Europe, if you need to borrow money, You need to go to the bank. You need to substantiate how much you've made. You have an official government document that says how much you made, how much taxes you paid, that you don't owe taxes, that you're a good corporate citizen. It shows what kind of debts you have. Did you have bills to other people? Did you pay them back? Do you have assets in case you can't pay? They want to make sure that you're reliable. A credit worthiness score is a reliability score. Are you reliable? So if I give you money, can I rely on you to pay it back? What occurs when you live in poverty? What occurs when you live in an area where you have no job? There's no government document that shows how much you earn. It doesn't occur. So how do you borrow money? It's almost impossible. You go to a loan shark. African continent, the average interest rate is somewhere around 50%. And because you're impoverished and you don't have an education, you don't understand how diminishing that is, how enslaving that is. But you borrow it because you think it's money and you can go buy a new handset or whatever occurs and you stay in servitude. But at Plastic Bank, when you're buying the things you need, when you're using the plastic itself to consistently pay for school tuition, let's say you pay weekly, every week you bring in plastic, it reduces the cost of the school tuition, makes it easier for more children to go to school so poverty can be alleviated in your family and the generations. Perhaps that'll occur, but you're going every week, every week, every week, every week. Well, I can substantiate your reliability. I know how much plastic you brought. I know how much you can earn. I know how reliable you are. I know that you brought other people into collection as well. So I can substantiate your reliability, and our endeavor is zero interest loans to the world's emerging based on how much plastic they collect in return. The endeavor in the end is to create the condition where poverty can solve itself. You can't donate the end of poverty. You can create the condition where poverty leaves the soul, where they see themselves with opportunity, with hope, creativity, resourcefulness. Where you give them tools to solve their own poverty. That's what we do.
In how many countries are you active today?
Well, we started off in Haiti, which we've had to retract from. And then I went to the Philippines, we went to Indonesia, we went to Brazil, Egypt. We have partnerships in Cameroon and in Thailand.
How do you decide on the countries?
We started off, Philippines, Indonesia are amongst the top contributors to marine debris. So that made sense. Nigeria, we have to get to. There's the top 10 contributing rivers as well, because the rivers become the waste dump. People throw everything in the river, it goes to the ocean because it takes it away from them. So those are areas we need to be in as well. Sometimes it's a commercial proposition where one of our partners has a big economic value in a country, like Egypt opened West with Henkel. So it's a combination of all of them. Egypt, also the Nile, one of the top 10 contributing waterways for marine debris, and the biggest contributor to marine debris in the Mediterranean, and as well as a commercial proposition, because we're a for prosperity business. We're not a charity, because again, you can't donate the end of poverty, and we have to work within the ideology of the end of poverty.
I heard a podcast, and they made a difference between social plastic and recycled plastic. What's the difference?
I was really wondering. Social plastic. Yeah. Social plastic for us is the category of material, because although we do all those amazing things, we collect billions of bottles, that material we sell back to packaging. That goes back into something. So we try to, in the endeavor of it all, it's all circularity. As I mentioned, at some point, all material will come back to circularity. Like, it's not to be used once and discarded. It's of high value. Why would I continue to extract from the ground when I still have the material right here in my hand, which I can use almost infinitely? It's the definition of insanity, doing the same thing all the time and expecting a different result. I think that's attributed to Einstein, but that's what we've been doing. I mean, look at the mass, look at societies. We complain about what's occurring, but we keep doing the same thing. So nothing has changed. And we keep expecting a different result.
Hmm.
So social plastic is the material that we collect. Social plastic, that's the packaging we collect by the world's emerging that provided financial inclusion, banking, hope, prosperity. Social plastic is a material whose material itself, the collection of the material, changed the thinking of humanity. Because it's a gathering of that material. It's a social material. It's for all society to benefit from. Social plastic is a prosperity mindset in a physical form. That's the material we sell.
Ein kleiner Hinweis in eigener Sache. Der Goodcast wird von uns mit viel Liebe für dich produziert. Bitte gib uns ein bisschen Liebe zurück und vergiss nicht, den Podcast zu abonnieren und zu bewerten. Auch über Kommentare freuen wir uns.
I like the idea, the what you said, that you, you say everything is coming back to circularity. And I'm really wondering, since, as I said, I was working for a recycling company back in 2017, I was really wondering, why are not more people aware of the worth of plastic? So as you said, it's like it's all around, but no one collects it. Why? Why is there not more like awareness for this kind of thing?
You tell me.
I was wondering, because I have been in Kenya and I've been in India, and everything, everywhere I went was like full of plastic. And I understand why people, when they live in poverty, cannot care. I understand this. But I never understood why people that could care don't care. Any idea?
Yeah, you know, I've got my, I can, yes, I do. And, you know, in a very go-forward methodology here, the idea here is not that they don't. The idea here is, how do we make them? So I could sit, you know, and certainly I can look at the past, look at the errors and say, oh, those are the errors. Let's change those errors. But in the end for us, it's to create such a value of the material, such a perception that people begin caring. Now, there are challenges in areas like India where it's a caste-based system where the poorest of the poor collect. The poorest of the poorest of the poor are the ones out scavenging for materials. So in that society, when you're middle class, if you go out and start collecting material, you may be viewed as the poorest of the poor of the poor. So they may care, but they won't do it because they think that it'll be a jeopardy to their social standing. Mm-hmm. There's all kinds. That's just one perspective. There's all kinds of reasons. And I think underlying all of it is access. If all the material was exchangeable for €5, but you had to walk 10 kilometers each way, maybe it's not worth it anymore. So it's access as well. So for us as well, accessibility is through schools and congregation so that everybody in everyone's neighborhood have access to the plastic bank. It's got to be in your neighborhood. I mean, there's a lot of things to do.
Yeah.
And inside of it, I mean, society's really just woken up. Now, it was in my space 40 years ago that plastic was in the ocean, 40. The rest of society has just woken up. So maybe that's a part of it. However, we do see a wave of change.
Do you know what I like most about plastic bank? I talked to a couple of people before we both met today, and I tried to explain what you do. And then I told them, it's pretty simple. So poor people collect plastic, and they receive something that's more worth than plastic. And everybody was like, oh, this sounds simple. And then I said, yeah, it is, but I'm really wondering why are not more people like doing this kind of stuff? So I like the idea, the simplicity in it. I guess it's not that simple, because you also use the blockchain. It seems to be not that simple, but I like that simplicity.
No, it's simple. It's just a database in the end, blockchain. It's not like it's a crypto or it's fluctuating. No, it's what's called a utility token. It just means that every piece of data is traceable. Okay. And if data changes, we can go look and say, why did the data change? Okay, it's secure. It's just truth. We try to add truth so that we can multiply truth against effort. If you multiply truth against effort, you can have a greater outcome. If you multiply falsehood or lies you diminish it. It's like truth being a value of one, lies being a value of zero. If you apply one against anything, you multiply it. If you apply zero against anything, it becomes not, becomes zero. So how do I get as much value out of the material, out of people, out of the data, out of the transaction, out of everything?
In this podcast, I try to figure out why people are doing something good. And it seems like you have a long journey behind you and a long journey in front of you. Where did this all start?
I grew up on the ocean's edge. I grew up on an island in Canada, and I did witness 40 years ago. I remember I had the gift of, and I lived in a beautiful community on an island in Canada, which was the penthouse of life anyhow. But I had this big, beautiful beach that I got to walk to go to school. It was maybe a 600-meter beach, something like that. And I would go beachcombing. We would go, that was what we would do. We would go to the beach and look for things that washed up, hoping we'd find something from somewhere else, something that had a story, who knows. And then we would find things that were plastic and stuff. And I remember one day I was like, oh, this is just someone's garbage. It's not like something that was like, you know, a message in a bottle or something fascinating. It was just, oh, someone threw this in the ocean. And it was like, oh. And then because I resonate with the ocean's edge, like I resonate with a lap of the shore, that would be my travel, my vacation. And wherever I went, I began to witness more and more and more. So it's been with me for a long time. Somewhere around 15 years ago, I came across the work of Chris Jordan, who is a photographer who traveled to Midway Island in the Pacific Ocean, what's like the most remote land in the world. And he photographed the decomposing corpses of albatross chick, the starving foal. He would show the decomposing stomachs, the body itself that was decomposing into the earth, revealing the masses of plastic that were ingested by the chick. The parent would go to sea, it would collect all this stuff and regurgitate into the chick that would then die. Having been through the entire journey of my life, seeing the garbage, seeing what was occurring, seeing how those images brought me to tears. I recognized as well in the moment that it wasn't an option. It was going to be done. Something was going to emerge about what was unfolding. As an entrepreneur as well, I knew that to have something occur, it needed to be an opportunity for people. And so I just began to be in execution, in movement for it, which also included bringing the story to life, telling people. Many people, when we began, didn't believe me that there was plastic in the ocean. So it's been a big journey. We're at a place now, I think, where I think we've become awakened to what occurs when we misplace the material.
I've seen the pictures, and it's pretty sad. That's what it is. It's sad. And from your opinion, what would help more, like stopping exploiting plastic?
Plastic's remarkable. I think it's ignorant to believe. It's ignorant to believe that we will live in a society without it. Ignorant. No matter how much you want to resist it. We have to stop using plastic, blah, 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 blah. Bullshit. Why are you kidding me? Stop. Ooh, never going to happen, ever. I think the only hope we have right now is to stop using virgin plastic. We have more plastic on the earth than we could ever use as a humanity. We keep making more. That's the insanity. That we need to create the economic opportunity to collect the material and continue to recycle it so that the demand for virgin is reduced. I think that's the hope. and that we create an economic model where virgin plastic becomes the viable option.
So is this the best advice that you would give to consumers?
I think my advice to consumers is to continue to ask and beckon for recycled content. And to remember that people and companies sell what you buy. They sell what you buy. Every time you buy something, you vote. Every time you buy something that came from a circular-based material, recycled content, low harm, and to continue to show that, that's what they'll sell. Continue to buy things that are overpackaged, virgin plastic, wasteful, single use. There's a market opportunity. They make money from it. So you can't sit back and want change without changing.
You cannot eat the cake and look at it at the same time.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know. Do you say it in English? Because in German, it's...
Yeah. it's eat your cake and have it too.
Cake and have it too. So over there in Canada, how easy is it to buy stuff in recycled plastic or in social plastic? Because I try to think about how easy it would be if I go into a German supermarket. It would be quite hard. It would be not that easy.
You know, we ask, so where we go, we do ask people, we want to make a better decision here. Can you show me what's going to be, what's in your store do you have that is, a better quality product, better for the world, better for the environment? So at least it exhibits that there's a demand for it. I think what's relevant to know is that the consumer is not the customer of the brand. The store is the customer. You are the customer of the store. So when you voice with the store and tell the store that you want to buy material that has social or recycled or, good material in it, you exhibit demand. And then the store will go to the brand and say, hey, our customers are asking for this. We're looking for this. We want this. We want better. The store then might start sourcing from other suppliers that have material that is better for humanity. But I don't know. Listen, I don't want to be negative, but I think that it's only going to change when Western civilizations begin dying as a result. I think that's when the change is going to occur.
I don't want to be negative, but
but I think that's what's going to occur. It's only when people start dying from climate change that we'll make changes.
Yeah, I just figured I did make some research. There was one fact that I was really struggling when I did read it. I just read it from my sheet, okay? That's a recent study suggests that an average person consumes about 5 grams of plastic per week, roughly the weight of a credit card. And I was like, okay, we are still dying. We are already dying. That's exactly what you said. It's everywhere.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
Yeah, let's try to bring it into an optimistic, more good end. As an entrepreneur, what would be your best advice for entrepreneurs that are starting something new right now?
I think that the advice for anyone in life, whether an entrepreneur or not, is to be in the recognition that it's a journey and that you do not need to be perfect to start. Recognizing that the perfect is the enemy of the good enough. And even broader, perfect or good enough are the enemy of starting. And so it's just about starting, and it's about becoming the person. That's really the nucleus of life at large, is you don't need to be the person. Just commit to the journey of becoming the person for myself, at the ideation of Plastic Bank, it was an overwhelming thought. Like, I'm going to go change the world, work in areas of poverty and scarcity and violence, and sell to the biggest customers in the world and build supply chain and technology and what? So when I had the idea, the first thought I had was, oh, I've got to tell someone else about this. I didn't think it could be me. The ego mind showed up and diminished me, which is what the ego does. It lives with fear. But then I had a conscious moment, a quiet thought, and said, David, you don't need to be the person that could change the world at all. The only thing you need to decide on today is to begin to be on a journey, just begin the journey of becoming someone who might. Oh, that's easy. I could easily decide to begin a journey of becoming someone who might. And here we are today.
Thank you so much. My last question for you, David, is I'm always asking the same question, and it's kind of funny. What's the song that you would like to end this podcast with?
The song, that's difficult for me. I come to some lyrics of a great Canadian artist. I have such admiration for Leonard Cohen. And in one of the lines, it's committed. It's the crack that lets the light get in. And what we experience today, I think, is the crack to let the light shine in so that we can see what it is. And I'm inspired in the knowing that, you know, it's the Darwinism that it's not the strong that survive. It's the most apt to change that survive. And I believe we have that. And I believe we have the opportunity to emerge and shift, to change, that collectively we become the people that create a world of prosperity.
Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, pleasure. Thank you.
I really did enjoy the interview. Thank you.
The birds, they sang at the break of day. Start again. Heard them say, don't dwell on what has passed away or what is yet to be. Yeah, the war, they will be fought again. The holy dove, she will be cut again. Bought and sold and bought again. The dove is never free. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. We ask for signs. Signs were sent. The birth betrayed. The marriage spent. Yeah, the widowhood of every government. Signs for all to see. I can't run no more. That lawless crowd, while the killers in high places say their prayers out loud, but they've summoned up a thundercloud. They're gonna hear from me. Ring the bell that's still. A crack sin. You can add up the parts, you won't have the sum. You can strike up the march, there is no drum. Every heart to love will come, but like a refugee. Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering.
Der Podcast, der wirkt. Präsentiert von Viva Equality. Mit freundlicher Unterstützung von Makiko.